and you're listening to BBS Radio.
Check out www.stateofmanmusic.com.
Dude, nobody does www anymore, man.
Yes, they do.
It's not about the www, Gary. It's about
the BBS.
Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. This is the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Try saying that three times with marbles in your mouth. with us this evening is Kate Braun. Kate, spell your last name for these folks so they'll know.
B-R-A-U-N, and unlike the coffee maker, I pronounce it Brown.
Brown, okay. See, and I've known you how many years, and I still called you Braun?
Oh, heavens, I don't know how many, Elaine. I stopped counting, and nobody needs to know how long we've known each other, and to infer from that how old we are.
Oh, listen to her. Kate, do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Okay, folks, go get a pencil and a piece of paper, a pen and a piece of paper. In a few minutes, we'll give you phone numbers to call in tonight because, as usual, this is an uninterrupted hour with Kate and I. You're welcome to call in for little mini readings or just to ask Kate and I questions. So in a few seconds, I'll give you phone numbers, and we'll give you her contact information as well. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. Kate, tell the folks exactly what you do. I have a whole list of questions here. I'm going to pop at you in a minute. I know what you do, but you explain
right.
It so much better than they do.
Well, I read tarot. I interpret tarot. I teach tarot. I have other methods that I use to access spirit, but it's primarily tarot work. That's cards. I write for my email list seasonal messages that touch on just the way the planet changes, because whether we notice it consciously or not, we are aware when the days get shorter and the days get longer, and I like the creative writing. And goodness me, that's it in a nutshell. Why don't you start slinging questions at me?
Well, tonight I asked Kate to be with us because she does such a wonderful job of writing about the equinox and the solstices. And she's been a contributor to my website for quite a while now, I think almost from the beginning. And, of course, all of her writings are in archive on my site, and will continue to be so, and then I'm sure you can catch them on her site as well. And when I got her last one, I thought, gosh, we need to have Kate on the show to tell us the difference between an equinox and a solstice. So start out with doing that, because you know what? Until I read your last newsletter, it had not struck me that there is a difference between an equinox and a solstice.
And you can get them confused. People will say solstice when they mean equinox. I mean, I've done it myself, just, you know, talking in a hurry and not thinking. If you think of the 12 months of the year as being like a clock face, solstices are at 12 and 6. Equinoxes are at 3 and 9. And if you get into the words of it and the roots, well, solstices are when you have the shortest day and the longest night, or the longest day and the shortest night, depending on whether it's the winter or the summer solstice. But it has to do with how much time you see the sun, and you've got sol, S-O-L, in solstice.
Okay.
And so you can remember it that way. Equinoxes, on the other hand, and you've got a nice horizontal line across your clock face, between 3 and 9, and that's an even balance. You can think of it as a balance beam kind of thing. And equinoxes, equal, even. And when you have equinoxes, what you have is you have an equal number of hours of daylight and dark time.
I have never heard that explanation before.
Well, I hope it's useful.
Well, it is. Why is it important?
Well,
what should we notice about these times of the year?
Well, it really all goes back to when people were closer to the earth, when society was more agrarian and not in offices with daylight savings time and working around the clock and things like that. When you are aware of the seasons as they pass, my attitude is it just puts you more in touch with the planet. And that's one of the reasons I write the seasonal messages that I write, and no, they are not posted on my website. They go out to the people on my email list.
Oh, why don't you keep them on your website, girl?
Well, it would take up a lot of space. For
well,
thing.
We would do that. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is it's kind of a treat that I give my email list.
Well, if anybody wants to read the old ones, when my website is back up, they can go in and look under archives and find yours.
Cool. That's
yeah.
Nice. I mean, I keep paper copy. Anyway, when you try to stay in touch with the planet, you can think back to all the different, you know, the different seasons that people had. Right now, we're talking about the fall equinox. Well, another name for fall equinox is second harvest. And so this was a big harvest time. You'd get together with your friends. It's a fire festival because you're saying goodbye to the sun because he's going to diminish after the equinox. There's going to be less and less of him, so you want to say goodbye to him. So you can build a bonfire. You can light up a fire in the grill. You can light lots of candles. But you want to think sunlight, fire, we're celebrating. It's been a good harvest. Even if you haven't gone out to your garden and pulled up carrots and potatoes and onions and things, you can still celebrate the season with the food. And this is a good celebration to eat lots of root crops, pomegranates too. Pomegranates are important because of that lovely, lovely myth about Demeter and Persephone and Hades and how seasons came to be. And pomegranates are a fall fruit. We've got, oh, you want to drink wine, too.
Every season.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's part of your list here. Dried seeds, grapes, and grains for the table.
Yep.
Gourds,
yep.
Pine cones, acorns, apples, pomegranates.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm reading from is her article entitled "The Autumn Leaves Drift by My Window, The Autumn Leaves of Red and Gold," and it's about the fall equinox that we're discussing this evening. And she gives you some hints about truly how to celebrate, inviting friends over and the foods and how to decorate and what to do and a little bit about why we celebrate, which is what she was just talking about. But you're explaining it in ways that I'd never heard it explained before. So,
well, I try to make it a little bit different each time I get around to that season so I just don't repeat myself endlessly. Plus, it's fun to find new ways to say the same kind of thing. You know, I'm a word person. I enjoy words. I had a thought, too, and now it's gone out of my head somewhere.
Well, just make note. Thought, come back. It will.
decorations. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You decorate your table, your altar, your the area where you're celebrating, as well as yourself. And you use the colors and the textures. And I don't think I included it in this particular fall equinox message, but one of the things you can do is you can use autumn leaves. If you're in a place where there's pretty colored autumn leaves, you can use them for your decorations. And if you're in a Martha Stewart mode, you
mm-hmm.
can dip them into melted paraffin. And before they dry, you can etch people's names in them, and then you can use them for place cards. Or you can dip them in the melted paraffin, and when they've dried, you can arrange them in a pretty bowl and let everybody take home one for a party favor.
Listen to you, Miss Martha Stewart, Jr. here.
I read it in a book. I just share the information. I don't come up with this stuff all on my own. I research.
I like the other one, too, that you had. Excuse me, a lovely centerpiece can be created using a scale.
Yeah.
To focus the attention on balance.
Yes, because balance is a big, 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 big feature of the equinoxes. And fall equinox and spring equinox, that's the two times in the year when you can balance a raw egg on its larger end.
You know, another thing that I read out of your newsletter here and I knew that people tried to balance it, but you broke it down with the eggshell represents earth,
yep.
The egg's membrane represents air,
mm-hmm.
The yolk represents fire, the egg white represents water, earth, air, fire, and water, the four elements that in an infinite array of combinations make up all things, or so it was believed in the long ago.
Yeah.
Four is considered to be the perfect number, and of course, four is your foundation number.
Yeah.
So to contemplate the egg as it balances is to contemplate perfection. I've never heard an egg broken down in terms of symbolic energy this way.
And again, I would have to dig through a bunch of papers to find exactly where I found that. It's not original with me. It was explained in one of my reference sources, and I like it.
It's wonderful. I've never, ever read it before. Nobody had ever. I've been around a lot of Wiccan people before,
uh-huh.
And that's one thing that had never, I'd never heard.
Well, I
like
it.
Was a description of the egg like that.
You know, I liked it when I first read it. And incidentally, the reason four is a perfect number is because 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. And 1 and 0 are all the digits you need to use to make any number, except for negative numbers, and we don't count them.
Except negative numbers, and we don't count them. Listen.
Yeah, yeah. But when you're talking about numbers, all you need is a 1 and a 0. You know, think binary, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why 4 is the perfect number.
Well, and it's a basis for everything else that you build
yep.
on, which
yep.
is great.
Yeah, Uspensky was a mathematician, and he was rather obsessed with the number 4. He also wrote a fascinating commentary on the 22 greater trumps of Tarot. And he really, and the 4s are there. When you look at the greater trumps, there's two cards that have little beasties designs on each corner, and those creatures, the way they are depicted, represent, among other things, the four fixed signs of the zodiac.
So they do.
Yes, they do.
Huh.
Taurus,
how did
the bull.
You get interested in all of this?
Huh?
Let's back off for a minute and say, and ask how you got interested in all this. When did you first starting? When did you first start reading Tarot, or did you grow up with it? What made you pursue metaphysical studies and kind of get involved in some of what people would think is this witchy stuff? I called it witchcraft a while ago. We need to explain the difference to the public before you answer that question. In my world, anyway, and you can certainly disagree with this if you'd like, to me, Wiccan, W-I-C-C-A, is an honored religion and an honored way of life that would never hurt a soul.
Right.
Witchcraft, on the other hand, is bordering on helladonics, which gets into some really heavy stuff, and very negative energy.
Helladonics?
There are those out there that confuse the two in general terms. And to me, it's like...
But you're using a word I'm not quite familiar with. Did you say helladonics?
Yeah, helladonics. It's another word for the negative side of witchcraft.
Oh, okay. Okay,
and
see, I hadn't heard that word before. How do you spell it?
H-E-L-L. A-D-O-N-I-C-S is one way of spelling it.
Okay.
Some people it's one of those words like the Kabbalah that has four or five different
spellings. Oh, right, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a new word to me, and I wanted to write it down.
There you go, helladonics. And it's really the negative, mean side of devil worship, if you believe in the devil, and that sort of thing, which is in association with the word witchcraft, which, again, is a slang word for Wiccan. So the general public confuse all of that. They just throw it all in the same basket.
And I know a very nice Wiccan lady who from time to time I've heard describe herself as a witch.
Right. It's a slang term associated with it, and the general public misunderstands.
Right. But what she talks about is being in touch.
Hold on, Kate, just a second. Do we have a caller?
Yes. Hi, Elaine. Hi, Kate. Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
Who is this?
I'm Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim from Louisiana. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I was going to ask if Kate could give me a mini Tarot reading with respect to a specific question.
Sure.
Kate?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your question?
Great. It has to do with whether I would be able to keep a property that I have.
Can you hear us okay, Kim?
Yeah, I can, but I hear a lot of feedback on the phone, and I just turned you off on my computer.
I don't know whether that's coming from our phones or whether it's coming from the station.
So let me understand what you're asking, Kim. It's a question of property.
Right.
So that makes it be a legal matter?
Yeah, that's part of it, I guess.
Okay. And what you want to know is, are you going to be able to keep the particular piece of property that's in question?
Yeah, and it's kind of a two-part question, that if I do make this investment to keep the property, will I be able to get out of it in a timely enough manner to get a decent future property for myself?
Well,
I'm separating from my husband, and my husband's disabled, and I'm considering refinancing the property that we have in my name so that he can keep it. But I don't right now know how I'm going to be able to afford both properties, a future home for myself and my son versus the home for my husband.
Right. Well, we've got the Six of Wands as your foundation on this question, and that means victory and success with no possibility of penalty. We also have that the situation is changing. It's changing in a familiar pattern. You need to stay focused on doing the right thing. Okay?
Yeah.
Justice underlies everything. And this is justice with her eyes wide open. So we are talking honor, ethics, right action, fair play, doing your business by the book, all of that sort of thing.
Right.
Okay? Since we're talking change and transformation, and since it's on a very personal level, you're changing. Your attitude is changing. So is your husband's. And I'm getting this visual now of winds blowing, you know, the wind.
Like the winds of change.
Something like that. So I would say be prepared for change.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the second part of that question is, are you going to be able to arrange things so that you can keep the property you want to keep so your husband can have a place to live too, that sort of thing, right?
Right.
Well, for that, it's going to take some creative thinking, which means there's not necessarily a form already in place to do this.
Got
so you have to think creatively. Nonetheless, the rules and the regulations are your foundation, and you use them to see what you can do to make it be different. And again, you have to stay focused on doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. And I think it's going to take longer to arrange things in a way so you and your husband can both be comfortable than it will be to get to the point where you can start doing that. But I think you will be able to pull everything together, because the long-range outlook, King of Pentacles, that says you get the money, the finances, the material possessions under control.
Great.
Does that help, Kim? Does that give your answer?
Yeah, that's really, really wonderful. I want to do the right thing, and I believe the right thing for now is to try to let him keep the house, even though I'm moving into an apartment which isn't in as good a neighborhood as the house is in.
Well,
but
see,
Well,
Kim, you know in your heart what the right thing to do is for you and for your husband. And that's where you listen to your soul's voice. But we are also talking about laws and rules, and I assume you're going to have some kind of legal person make sure that you're doing everything according to Hoyle.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to, because we're going to try to get some, we have to seek legal counsel, because we're going to try to get some federal assistance and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, the Six of Wands is a real good indicator, because it says it's a win-win situation. Just don't be surprised if it takes a time. This is not going to be an easy resolution. It'll happen. It's just going to take time and creative thinking, and you're going to need some help. But in general, it looks okay. What I like to ask my clients at the end is, Does this make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it really does.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Kim, I think we have another caller coming in. Thank you so much for calling in, and you're welcome to call back if you would like.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed evening, ladies.
You too. Thank you
for listening, Kim.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Do we have another caller there? Did we have another caller? Oh, I apologize. I thought Seth came on and was giving me a high sign there. That reminds me, I have not given out the phone numbers. Kim must have gotten that from an announcement or the website. Our numbers that you folks will need to call in on tonight, there are two different numbers. For the U.S. is 1-877-270-8714. 877-270-8714. And in Canada, still waiting for that first Canadian call out there, another challenge, 1-888-288-4494. Let me give that to you again. I love that Canadian number, 1-888-288-4494. Now, we were talking about the difference between the Wiccan way of life, which is very earth, fire, wind, very naturally oriented, very ancient religion, very ancient way of living life, versus a more hedonic or devil worship. So when I ask Kate about her interest in Wicca, it's the good side of the coin.
Yeah, and what you're really asking is, how did I get into this? No, I was not raised in it. You could say I fell into it by accident. You could say...
well, a little help from the universe, but that's okay.
You could say that Spirit arranged my life to put me in the right place at the right time to get exposed to it. However it happened, back in 1966, a friend took me to meet this neat old man in Austin named Clarence. And Clarence, he was an old fellow, but he liked to have the young people around, and he sure did like to talk about this and that and everything, marvelous stories. And among other things, he talked about Tarot, and I got curious. He loaned me books. That was the first time I read Uspensky, and this was when the book was out of print, and it was before Dover Press reissued it. And I was just really taken by it. I thought it was a wonderful book. I still think it's a wonderful book. I got my first deck of tarot cards from Clarence. I was in UT. I was still in at UT at the time. And so I spent hours every afternoon in the chuck wagon with my deck of cards and my book and discovered I had a talent for this. I had a knack for it. It fascinated me. I practiced, I read, I played with it. It took a long time. My students always ask me two questions. One, how long did it take you to lay the book down? Well, the answer to that, it took me about 6 months, but I was putting in hours every day. Second question they want to know is, how long did it take me to decide I should go be a full-time professional psychic? And, well, that took about 35 years.
It was probably there in the back of your mind the whole time, wasn't it?
It probably was, but I had, I had other concerns that I put higher on the priority list, like raising my children. And time passed, and then I thought, well, yes, I do have this talent. I can do it. And it expressed, I'm not an astrologer. I always say that straight up. I don't want to have too much to do with astrology. It's too much mathematics. But I've got my Pluto in Leo, and people who have their Pluto in Leo on their natal chart means that we've got this generational imperative that says you've got to help people. And there's bajillion different ways to do this. I help people by helping them find the way to find the better answers. I don't tell people what to do, but what I can do with my tarot readings is let them explore the probabilities and possibilities and help them see if this is a matter where they've got to do business by the book and just think about it, or if they need to trust their gut.
Trusting the gut, that's getting a lot of information, and most people don't even realize they get information via that way. I have a question for you concerning both your interest as a tarot reader and a specialist, and a reader and a specialist. Why would you need to pay attention to equinoxes and solstices? What difference do those things make in your life? What difference, what effect do those events have in your life? Why are they important to you?
Well, okay. Because it affects our emotional balance. On the spiritual plane, whether you notice it or not, you're aware of the days getting shorter, the days getting longer. Remember, the studies have been done that for people up in Alaska in particular, where the winters, the nights get so long,
mm-hmm.
people can sink into a deep depression because they're not getting enough sunlight, so they have to have the sun lamps in the house. And when we are aware of the length of the days, the length of the nights, it can help us to deal with however we are reacting emotionally to more light and less light. That's part of it. I think another part of it has to do with just the way our bodies reflect that energy. We get slower in the wintertime. It's harder to exercise.
And we eat more.
Yeah. All of these things, they happen cyclically. The seasons progress in order, and we respond to that order some way or another.
So when you were studying, and we, as metaphysicians, we continue to study all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't just master a subject and then we stop. But I think all living beings continue to grow spiritually, whether they recognize it or whether they openly invite it into their life. It just happens. Our spirits grow. So when you were you just as interested in the witchy stuff, as you nickname it, or from the very beginning, or did the tarot door open all of that to you as well?
Yes. That's
yes.
The quick answer.
Okay.
I was always interested, okay? When I was a child, when I was growing up, my parents would all the time tell me, no, you don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, me being kind of a goat as opposed to a sheep, you tell me, no, you're not interested in that, and I'm going to say, yes, I am.
So you were perpetually 16
so
your entire
I was,
life.
So I was curious.
Yes.
Life, you know, life sends you things. You're in high school, you're in college, you're married, you're a young mother. And then circumstances connected me with tarot, and it's like, oh, yeah, this looks like fun.
It is fun.
It is indeed. One of the things I really, really like about teaching my beginning tarot class is that more often than not, somebody in the class is going to ask me a question I don't know an answer to, and I get to go look it up.
I love that, yeah.
And that is so much fun. And they'll see things in the cards that I haven't noticed, even though I've been looking at them for umpty years, you know?
I know, and you see a symbol that you never saw before.
Yeah.
You know, what does this mark mean? And, of course, for those of you that have seen tarot cards and taken in the beauty of a card, if you haven't broken it down, every single line, every color, depending on what kind of card it is,
mm-hmm.
every color, every number, everything on that card has a reason, has a meaning, even if it's just a couple of strokes of a pen. You do teach a tarot class. You call it a beginning tarot class at
yep.
the University of Texas. As
in the
part
informal
of
classes.
The informal
program.
Classes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if people want to sign up and they're in this area, how do they do that?
You have to contact UT. The informal classes has a website, and you can enroll there if you just tell your search engine, University of Texas at Austin informal classes, it should pop it up. I don't sign people up. I can't do that. Only UT handles enrollment.
About how large are your classes?
5 minimum. I said 15 max. The most I've ever had in a class was 12, and whew, that was intense.
Yeah.
Because you get more people asking questions, more people to try to connect with. It's busy.
I used to limit mine to 8, and now I'm only doing 2 to 4. It's too much. If you've got really interested people, the downside to limiting the size of your class, though, and paring it back is that they don't get to learn as much from a variety of people from each other.
Yeah, and one of the things I do with my class is we have lots of practice readings.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people you have, the more different combinations you have in the class to pair up to do the readings.
Yes, and that's important. So
it's very important.
What can this is a beginner's class. What do you call a beginner's class? What kind of cards do you use?
Well, I teach from the Rider-Waite deck. And a beginning class is what I call just nuts and bolts tarot. 78 cards, 10 positions in a Celtic cross layout. Lots of memory work, lots of practice. There is a test. I mean, hey, I'm a teacher, there has to be a test. But everybody passes, I guarantee. And we have a lot of fun.
Do they have to bring their own cards?
Yes.
What else do they have to bring?
$1 for the first class for the handouts for me, because I print out cheat sheets, notes, additional information. And that's it. You bring yourself, your dollar bill, your cards, and off we go.
How much does the university charge for the class itself, and how long is the class?
I don't know what the university charges.
Okay. One of those classes run anywhere from $25 to over $100. So
yeah, I have no idea, and I would really prefer to not guess.
Yeah, there's just no telling.
And as for the classes, we meet Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. It's three consecutive Wednesdays. The next class is scheduled to be the first three Wednesdays in October. That's October the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th. 2 hours each, three meetings.
Okay. Which campus are you teaching?
UT's main campus, downtown
Austin.
Downtown
University
Austin.
Area. Yeah.
Normally, they stick me in the CBA, College of Business Administration.
Okay.
Hey, the tables are the right size, and they have real good blackboards.
Real good blackboards. Still something I have a hard time writing on, and I taught for 7 years. Just something about blackboards.
I like to write
on. Want to go back to solstice and equinox.
Okay.
In your email, in your newsletter, it says, remember to give thanks during your feasting. So
yes.
You've created a party, you've invited people.
You've gotten all dressed up. Oh,
right,
yeah.
And I need to go back to the first one, the very first paragraph, and read this. Sunday, September the 23rd, 2007, is when we celebrate the fall equinox. Lord Sun enters Libra, the sign of balance, while Lady Moon is in her second quarter in Pisces. Pisces is a very spiritual, very psychic sign.
Yes.
The sign that absorbs all of the zodiacal energies. Alternative names for this lesser festival are Mabon, Mabon.
Yep.
Harvest Home, Second Harvest, and Cornucopia.
Yes.
It is a time to revel in the abundance of the earth, I would imagine, hence the Corpiconia.
Yeah.
To give and receive the fruits of your labors, because this is a harvest time.
Yes.
To observe the balances in your life and to contemplate how that balance is likely to change as the seasons progress.
Yeah.
What a lovely explanation, and it involves. I had never heard the word Mabon.
I found that in sources on the internet. Any time you go and ask about the seasons, this is what's going to pop up. Mabon is just one of the names for it. There's more. You can call it the Festival of Dionysius too. And I'm not going to try to pronounce Gaelic.
Okay. Okay. Now, back to where I was. Remember to give thanks during your feasting.
Yes.
Yes.
You give thanks for the abundance, for the blessings that you have. And you need to be specific about it. You, as the hostess, you start out. And you can say, I give thanks for this wonderful feast and for the friends that are here to help me celebrate, because without friends, we would just be too lonely. Somebody else could say, I give thanks that I've got a really good job, because with this really good job, then I can live my life better and I can truly appreciate this wonderful feast. You know, you need to be specific about it. You don't just give general thanks. Okay?
Okay.
But
okay.
What you're really saying is, here is this wonderful planet that has given us this wonderful food. We have friends to share it with. We are saying, thank you, Mother Earth. Thank you, Goddess. Thank you, Universe. We are blessed indeed, and we're going to have a good time to prove it.
You've given us a safe place and good food and good company, and we're going to appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The phone number for the USA is 1-877-270-8714. For Canada, 1-888-288-4494. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are with Kate Brown tonight. We're talking about, if you've just joined us, the difference between an equinox and a solstice. And we're talking about the fall equinox. Will you come back in the spring and talk to us about the spring solstice or equinox?
Oh, yes.
When
spring
is the next
is the equinox.
We have the next one is in March.
Yeah,
right?
Spring equinox is in March. The winter solstice is in December. What you have, oh, and I just need to say one quick thing. With your celebration for the fall equinox, be sure that you share the leftovers amongst your guests. Everybody needs to go home with some food, preferably food that they did not bring if you're going to do a potluck. This ensures prosperity for the coming year.
Oh, it's such an encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. You eat, drink, and be merry, and everybody takes home a crust of bread or a piece of pie or something, and this sets forces in motion to be sure you won't go hungry next year.
It's just like planting a little seed.
Yes. 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 Yes.
While I'm thinking about it and looking at your newsletter, I had forgotten all about the Body, Mind, and Soul and Spirit Expo.
Yep, first weekend in October, Palmer Event Center.
Yes, and that's down in the downtown Austin area.
Yes.
You're going to be available at booth 17?
Yes.
Yeah, for 15 to 30-minute readings. How much do you charge for those at the fairs?
15 minutes is $30, half an hour is $50, and that includes state sales tax and a cassette tape that the client then gets to take home and play it back as often as needed, because once I've done a reading, I don't remember it.
Yeah, and it's they don't hear everything you say to begin with.
And sometimes they don't realize what I've said or what it means until whatever I'm saying happens.
Don't you just love it? And they call you and say, I thought you were absolutely crazy, and then this happened.
Well, I had one woman come to me one year at Expo and said, I saw you here last year. Do you remember? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, you told me this and this and this and this and this about my sister-in-law, and I thought you were crazy, and let me tell you, she did it. I have no idea what she did, but I'm glad I was right.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just the opposite. You know, they'll tell you, yeah, it happened, and you'll go, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and then there was the fella who told me that everything I said came true in the order in which I said it would come true, only it took the whole year instead of 3 months.
Sometimes that happens because
a timeline is the first variable that's going to shift.
Yeah.
And I always tell my clients it's more important to notice the order in which things happen. That's not likely to change.
So we've got the winter solstice on December the 19th.
No.
Winter
solstice is December. I've got my calendar right here. December the 22nd.
22nd. And then we'll have,
And then in March we have the spring equinox, and in June you have the summer solstice.
Okay, so you're going to have a few trips back with us.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. Incidentally,
yeah.
One of the terms that's used for the time between the fall equinox and the winter solstice, it's called the time when there is no time.
Now, why is that?
Because it's getting darker. And if you measure your time in daylight hours, there's just less and less of it.
Well, and I would think, too, that there's not much that will grow during that time.
That's right. Nothing's growing. The dark time of the year. When you think of, like, you let the land lie fallow so it becomes enriched. Well, you have this dark time of the year, and that's when you clean your tools and sharpen your hoe and that sort of thing. You prepare for the spring planting.
That's like with the American Indians. They go back to their homes and create.
And another thing you do is you sit around the fire or the campfire and you tell stories. And this is when the image of the crone becomes very important, because the crone is the wise woman. She has all the tribal knowledge. And she will tell you stories about the great flood, and she will tell you stories about when your grandfather was young and all the mischief he got into. And this is tribal lore. This is family lore that's transmitted. It's an oral history.
Do you know of any crone organizations in this area, crone gatherings?
No, I don't. And if I were to look for one, the first person I'd ask would be Midnight at Ancient Mysteries. If anybody in this town would know, I think she would.
Ask her.
Okay. I'm going to make a note about that.
The crone imagery has really been... I've been getting a lot of crone energy, and, of course, I'm reaching that age. And for some reason, I've had dreams, and events will happen around me, and that word will pop up, and obviously I'm supposed to pursue something.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting opinions on when a woman attains cronehood. I tend to go with the one that says it's the date of your second Saturn return.
No, I hadn't heard that.
And for that, you have to consult an astrologer. It gets very mathematical. Well, you know, the triple goddess, maiden, matron, crone.
Yeah.
And Saturn goes in about 27, 28-year cycles. And so,
well,
what
I read online was that crones could be even in their late 30s.
It could be. I know one lady who had a big I am a crone party when she hit her 50th birthday.
That would make sense.
And I just like the second Saturn return. I don't know why. I mean, you can declare yourself a crone when you attain menopause. The whole theory is with crones is that your childbearing years are behind you, raising the family is behind you, and so now you get to sit around and dispense all this wisdom that you've learned,
whether they want it or not.
Right.
Well, with all of your wisdom, can you tell me what the importance is of why we need to balance an egg?
To focus us.
Just to focus.
To focus, to be aware of what it takes to maintain balance. And contrary to what was said on that episode of The West Wing a few years ago, you don't have to do it at midnight.
You know, when I was thinking about balancing an egg, I didn't think about that show, but I was thinking, what is it I know about midnight?
That's
where it
came
from. I was trying to connect
it. It does not have to be midnight. I balanced an egg on my countertop, which is 4-inch ceramic tiles. I put the egg in the middle of one of those tiles on its larger end. I put my index finger on the pointier end, and watched it and watched it and watched it. It gets you into kind of a meditative state. You know, your breathing slows and you're focused on this egg. And yes, it balanced, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. And I took a picture of it.
I got tickled at that episode that you're talking about, because everybody was gone. She had nobody to prove it.
Yep.
She had balanced an egg.
But she knew.
Yeah,
that's the important thing. You don't need a bunch of witnesses, because you know all on your own.
When it came in the old country, when the solstices and the equinox came around in the old world, the long agos, did the villages pretty much shut down, or the towns pretty much shut down?
I think so.
And celebrate?
I think so. Well, consider Stonehenge.
Now, you're really going back then.
Yeah. Places like Stonehenge and Chaco Canyon, they line up sunlight with the various solstices, equinoxes, and stuff. It was a time of great importance to the village. And so, yeah, I would assume that things would shut down.
Well, what about when it became, when towns became towns as such and attitudes were a little different? It wasn't just agrarian anymore. Do you think that the solstices and equinox celebrations were still just as important?
I think so. Let's see. Now, what time period are you referencing?
Well, when I think of solstice celebrations, I think of people who are farmers, herders. They're out in their villages. But I have a hard time seeing how important it would still be to the people of, say, London when the lamp oils were on the streets, you know, and the people were going around lighting the oil lamps.
Well, in the bigger cities, I think that's the first place where you're going to lose those traditions. But, for example, this is not an equinox thing, but when I was in grade school, we had a big May fete and danced around a maypole.
Right. I remember that.
And that goes way back to all kinds of imagery because it's springtime and Lord Sun is going to impregnate the goddess and the world will be fertile and healthy and alive again.
And all this good stuff's going to come out of the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was celebrated by braiding a maypole. And they were still doing maypole dances in my elementary school. You know, that has stopped. There's a lot of things that just aren't happening anymore in schools. But it moved from the village green to the schools, and people still did it. And no, people aren't going to stop work in London to celebrate the solstice. But I bet you go out in the countryside, and there are going to be people who are going to light a bonfire.
Even still today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I know in Bastrop, they have the solstice and equinox celebrations out in the park.
Mm-hmm.
I know they do.
Yep.
And we have drumming groups around, women's groups particularly, that celebrate.
Yeah, Midnight has had a group that goes across the street to the St. Elmo School playground, and they do a drum circle for every full moon.
You've mentioned Midnight several times. Tell the folks who Midnight is and what she owns, where she is.
Okay, Midnight is the owner and operator of Ancient Mysteries, which is at 4315 South First. South First runs parallel to I-35.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful little shop with
goodies. It's a neat little metaphysical shop. She has witchy stuff and magical stuff and candles and herbs and just cool things.
She has books?
Yes. She has books. She has statuary. She has crystals. She is very knowledgeable. She does Reiki. She does ear candling. If you have unwelcome entities in your home, she will help you manage them or tell them to go away.
I'm glad to know she does ear candling. I want to go do that. I haven't done that in a long time, and I need to.
Okay.
It's hard to find anybody these days that will do ear candling.
She does.
Good to find them. What else do you want to share with our folks about the equinox or solstice that you feel is important for them to know?
Well, you know, we have covered so much of it. Nothing really comes to mind.
So, in a nutshell, we need to respect the shifts of the season.
Yes.
And participate in the shift of the season.
Yes.
By celebrating with color and food and enjoying the food of the season, particularly
yes.
The season is coming in.
Yes. We get to celebrate 8 seasons if you follow. And again, this is a Wiccan pagan idea, the 8-spoked wheel of life. That's 8 seasons we can celebrate. That's 8 reasons every year to have a party.
do we need a reason?
Well, no, but it helps.
It helps, yeah. An excuse.
Yes. Besides, you're going to be asking people to dress up.
Dress up in the colors of the season.
Yes, yes.
You know, one of the things that I want to do in my backyard is to make a wheel.
Oh, that would be such fun.
for very, very, we have a pretty good sized backyard, and I keep telling my partner that I would love to have a wheel and a labyrinth, but I don't know if
yes.
we can have both.
No, you don't have room for both, so do a wheel. Wheels
do
are
a wheel,
easier.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you can arrange it, some kind of dolmen or standing stone.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be nice in the middle of your wheel. For other seasons, there are rituals that you can do involving a standing stone.
I've always wanted to find a big chunk of rose quartz.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can find them, and you can even find it of such a quality that it doesn't have to cost you a fortune. It's just hard to haul back. They're
mm-hmm.
so heavy. They're so dense.
They are heavy.
Mm-hmm. The rose quartz is really
yes.
dense. Yeah, you can go to Colorado and get a nice big chunk of that stuff.
Neat.
But this has been, and still is, Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. Our guest tonight is Kate Brown. She's been sharing energy with us about the solstice and the equinox. You can find her in Austin, Texas, and your phone number is?
512-454-2293.
And you do telephone readings?
Yes, I do.
And you teach at the University of Texas in their...
Informal classes program.
Informal classes.
Yep.
You have a website, which is?
Which is. Now, I hope everybody has had the time to get the pen and the paper, because this is a long one. Okay?
Okay.
www.tarotbykate.bigstep.com. And Tarot by Kate, I'm going to spell out, TarotByKate.
And you can find her in this area at the next Psychic Fair, which is November the 17th and 18th. Let me turn around.
Let me check my calendar right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, 17th and 18th.
Yes, the 17th and 18th, and Mind, Body, Spirit Expo is the first weekend in October. That's October the 6th and 7th. And the first weekend in November, November 3rd and 4th, I will be at Celtic Fest. And the first weekend in December, that's the 1st and 2nd, I will be at Wheatsville's Arts Fest in the North parking lot, and that's at 3101 Guadalupe.
What was the fest? Celtic Fest.
Yes.
Here in Austin?
Yes, that's at Fiesta Gardens.
You know, I haven't done that in years, and I had a great time when I did. It was a really, folks, it really is a Celtic fest.
The bagpipers are wonderful.
Yeah, it was great fun. Great, great fun. Wonderful.
And I took time away the first time I did Celtic Fest to go over and watch the Celts defeat the Romans.
Did you? I didn't get to do that.
I made a point of doing that. I figured I might not get another chance to, and I wanted to see it, and it was rousing good fun, let me tell you. I'm impressed with the way these guys make the Roman soldiers, they make their own armor.
Goodness.
I talked to one of the guys about it. It was fun.
I just remember watching them set up for it, and it was so colorful and so
oh, yeah.
inviting.
And the dog parade is nice, too.
And that's on the shores, which is a really nice part of Austin.
Fiesta Gardens. It's
mm-hmm.
east of I-35. It's down on the lake. It's a lovely place.
And when everybody gets set up, it looks like a big tent village.
Yes, it does. Well, it looks very medieval, is what
yeah,
it looks
very,
like.
Very. Let me see. I had something I was going to ask you. Did you ever remember what slipped your mind a while
no.
ago while I'm searching
no,
for
the
my
conversation.
Here.
The conversation went where it went.
Where it was supposed to go.
Yes.
Okay. I thought I had... Oh, you also sing with a group called the Tapestry Singers. It's a
yes,
women's
I do.
Group.
Well, this is part... Glad you mentioned that, because it's part of balance. You have to have work to give that kind of meaning to your life. You have to give yourself time for spiritual expression, for prayer and meditation. You also have to have time for play, okay?
Uh-huh.
For me, a lot of my play is Tapestry Singers. It's a woman's chorus, and we rehearse 7 to 9 p.m. Monday evenings in the chapel on the grounds of the Austin State Hospital. You exit at the light on Guadalupe. You enter from the stoplight on Guadalupe. It's about, I think, 41st Street or thereabout. And we have a lot of fun. We sing songs by, for, and about women. You don't have to know how to read music. You don't have to have a perfect voice. All you have to do is want to sing. And this was a great opportunity for me because it had been over 30 years since I'd had a group to sing with. My range had shrunk. My voice was in lousy shape, and I knew I would never pass an audition. So it was a relief to be able to show up and say, hey, I want to sing. And everybody said, hi, here's some music.
Come join us.
And it's great fun. We are now in rehearsal for the big 20th anniversary weekend, which unfortunately happens the same weekend as Expo, so I can't sing. I go to rehearsals anyway. I join this group to sing, not necessarily to make every show.
Where do you sing? Do you just different places around town? Are you invited, or is there a schedule?
Well, let's see. Our big winter concert last year was in a Presbyterian church over on Mesa Drive, and it focused on Benjamin Britten's A Ceremony of Carols. Then our spring concert we did at a church, I forget which church, in North Austin, and then we went to San Antonio the next day, Sunday, and did the concert there. And that was focusing on the Durafle Requiem. And I have not got it tattooed on my brain cells where we're singing. But here's the program. No, it doesn't tell me. I forget where we're going to be singing this reunion weekend concert. But we're singing a lot of songs that were written by Ruth Huber, the founding mother. She's going to be the guest director, including one called Joan of Arc.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and this song about Joan of Arc is the reason Tapestry Singers came into existence.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because Ruth wrote the song. She thought it was a really good song, sent it off to a woman's chorus in San Francisco, suggesting that they might like to sing it. The song was returned with the note, no, we're not going to sing this. Joan of Arc was not a feminist. At which point Ruth said, humph, well, I'll just have to form my own group to sing this song. And so Tapestry Singers was born.
And she did.
And we're going to sing it for her.
Well, I need to say goodnight, or start saying goodnight, reminding everybody that this has been Kate Brown of Austin. Her phone number is 512-454-2293. You can reach her there for instruction or readings. And her website, I'll say it, is www.tarotbykate.bigstep.com. tarotbykate.bigstep.com.
Yep.
You're right. That is a long one.
Yes, it is.
But they'll find you.
Yes, they will. Also, you can just Google Tarot by Kate, and I will turn up.
And let me know how you're doing out there, world. Thank you so much for having been with us this evening, Kate. I appreciate it. I know it takes time away from your evening, and I appreciate you joining the crowd and I. And,
but it's so much fun, and thank you so much for inviting me, and I look forward to the next time we do this.
Yes, we'll do this again in December around the 19th. We'll try to do it before the winter solstice so we can tell people how to perform at
Yes, indeed, and the solstice is the 22nd, so yes, I'm looking at my calendar. We shall be back on December the 19th. What's up?
I look forward to it. And we'll be sending out announcements and so forth, just like we did this time, so people can gather up their questions and be with us for another evening of education. In the meantime, you folks out there, have a wonderful week. Be nice to each other, and don't forget to share a hug. Good night, Kate.